You can feel welcome, y'all.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Russell. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just great joy to be here, and I'm really glad it worked out this way where I had this service like this, because tomorrow starts our vacation Bible school, and Becky and I are both working in it. And so it helps that we're going to get home tonight and get a few hours rest before we get started with Bible school. We've got we run over 1,000 children in that Bible school and need a lot of workers. So Becky and I are signed up, and we'll get in there and do our part. But this really helped that we did this, and I just thought this morning was great. The good spirit, the good music that honored the Lord, those that read scripture and added to it, it was just really, really good. And it blessed me. And then Brother Russell said, just, you know, we'll share a brief. You know how hard that is for a preacher? A brief thought or a devotion? I mean, that is tough, because most of us preachers preach too long, you know. And you know you're in trouble when people start falling asleep. And I know it's Sunday afternoon. I know a lot of us are used to taking an afternoon nap on Sunday afternoon, but just please stay awake a little while longer and give me a hearing. And we're going to I just want to share a thought that I've shared recently that was kind of on my heart. And it's something I think you can take home with you. Maybe it'll apply. You can apply it to your heart. That will be good. My title is Don't Put a Period Where God Wants to Put a Comma. Okay, I want you to think about that. Don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. Now, the English language is, people that come here from foreign countries, they a lot of time have to have teachers and tutors. The English language has some complexities to it. And in fact, some of us born and raised in America and spoken English all our life, and we still get stumped. We still sometimes are not grammatically correct. And when I went to college, freshman English at Baylor University, I was in the freshman English class, and my teacher was Professor Meisenheimer. He was a German, and he said, the first thing he said is, half of you will fail this class and have to retake this course. And I thought, oh, Lord, what have I got myself into? I mean, I'm not going to make it here. And it was. It was really, really difficult. But learning where those punctuation marks go, they're important. They're important if you're reading. They're important if you are even talking through things. There are things where there's a period. There's things where there is a comma. Now, this is the verse I'm going to use today. And then I'm going to make some comments. And I hope you can, and I'm going to go quickly, so listen, okay? Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar verse, says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, expanding that verse, it's saying, for I know the plans. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The next verse says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that a good promise? I know the plans I have for you to give you hope and a future. So let's look at that just a moment, and I want to give you a quote. And I want you to remember this. Please don't take the pen out of God's hand about writing your story. Don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. Don't think it's the end of life, that I can't do anything else, because God has a plan for you. If you're still living and breathing, He's got a plan for you, for a hope and a future. And someone wrote, this was in that little book, 31 Days of Praise. It says, thank you, Lord, that you have me in the place you want me just now. That even if I got here through wrong choices or indifference or even rebellion, yet you knew my mistakes and sins before I ever existed. And you worked them into your plan to draw me to yourself, to mold me and bless me and help me to bless others through me. Even if I'm here through the ill will of others, all is well. For in your sovereign wisdom, you're at work. Doing your work to bring about good results, both for me and others. And Joseph is a great example of that. All the bad stuff happened to Joseph. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He was thrown in a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison for several years. And yet God was working it all out to save a great number of people and to do a great work. So let God write the rest of your story. Now, I want to quickly mention this. There are three men in the Old Testament who wished for a period, but God put a comma. Three men in the Old Testament, great men. One was Moses. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 10, chapter 11, and you'll see in verse 15, Numbers 11, 15, he said, God, just kill me. I can't bear the burden of all these people. Just take me on home to glory. God said, no, Moses, you're going to lead these people all the way in the journeys in the wilderness. You're going to get them all the way to the Jordan River. You're going to get them all the way before they go into the Canaan land. And so he said, but kill me. God said, no, you're going to put a comma. Not going to put a period there. Elijah, after the great victory on Mount Carmel, called fire down from heaven, destroyed the false prophets, had that great victory, and then Jezebel got after him. Remember, he ran, got under a juniper tree, and he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. He's feeling sorry for himself, said, just take me on home. Just take me on home. The Lord said, no, still got things for you to do, Elijah. Elijah anointed the new Syrian king, Hazael. He anointed the new Israel king, Jehu, and then he mentored and helped Elisha as he became the next great prophet. God had something for him to do. That's what I'm telling you. Don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. God has something for you to do. If you're still alive and breathing, God's got you here for a purpose. You may be like me and you're a little decrepit or moving slow, but God has a purpose. He has a purpose for us. And then, of course, Jonah. Jonah didn't get his way. He's pouting outside the city of Nineveh after having absolutely the greatest revival recorded in Bible history. The whole city, they repented. From the king to the little maid in the servants' quarters, the whole city repented. They had the greatest revival you read about. And yet Jonah wasn't going his way. He had a biasness and he was bitter. And he's sitting outside the city. And you remember the story. He's sitting out there waiting to see maybe God will change his mind. He'll zap these people because he hated the Ninevites. And didn't happen. That sun beating down on his bald head. And it was hot and it was miserable. And he let a gourd grow up, a little small gourd grow up and cover him. And he thought, oh, this is nice. And then God sent a worm and the east wind. And that gourd just wilted. And Jonah said, Lord, just let me die. I'm just so mad and angry I could die. And Lord said, no, not going to happen. You know how we know it didn't happen and God only put a comma? Who wrote the book of Jonah? Jonah wrote it himself. I mean, even the bad part. If I was writing the Bible, I would have ended Jonah in chapter 3 with that great revival. The whole city repented. But God deals with individuals as well as cities. And God dealt with him. And God said, listen, Jonah, there's thousands, 120,000, I think he said, of little children in that city. God cares about the individual, and God loves souls, for God so loved the world. God loves people. And Jonah wrote the story. It made him look bad, but it was the truth. And he had to write the story. Then there are three Christians that thought their ministry was over. They thought there was a period. I want to mention those quickly to you. Number one is Simon Peter. You know, Jesus told him, said, "Now, Simon, Satan's desired to have you that he can sift you as wheat." Did you know Satan wants you? He wants your testimony. He wants to tear up your life. Hey, Satan is sinister. I mean, if you were sinking in quicksand, he'd put his foot on your head. He wouldn't spit on you if you were on fire. I don't know why you think you could be a friend of Satan or listen to Satan's lies. God is loving. God is kind. God is long-suffering. Even when we mess up, he forgives us. He picks us up out of the broken pieces we have and puts us together and uses us. But Jesus said, "Simon Peter, don't worry. I've prayed for you." That's the key. Jesus said, "I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Well, you know the story. You know, Peter denied the Lord. The Lord looked on him. He wept bitterly. Then it's all over. Jesus has risen from the dead. But Peter thinks his ministry is over. John 21, when he says, "I go fishing," he wasn't just saying, "I'm going to go out fishing," like the guys did for the catfish. He was saying, "I'm going back to my former vocation. I'm through here. I'm over. My ministry's over. I've denied the Lord. I'm not worthy anymore to do anything." And Jesus either walked or flew or just showed up in Galilee. We don't know. But if he walked 80 miles up there to the Sea of Galilee just to have a meal with Peter and restore him. Think about that. He walked or he flew over there, however he did it. He was the risen Lord just to talk to Simon Peter to restore him. And so when he got there, what did Jesus ask him? He put his finger on the problem. "Simon, do you love me? Do you love me?" See, that's the whole key of restoration. It's knowing that where is your love for Jesus? You know he loves you. And he restores Simon Peter. "Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Minister to my people." And Simon Peter was restored and preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved. Amazing. Simon Peter thought there was a period. God said, "Nope, there's a comma. I'm going to use you again. I'm going to use you again." And then there was John Mark. He quit on that missionary trip. He just quit. Boy, this is it. He decided, "Man, I can't do this." Man, they faced satanic opposition. They faced all kinds of challenges when he was with Paul and Barnabas. He said, "I'm going home." And then when the next trip came, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. And Paul said, "No, we can't trust him. He didn't follow through. We can't trust him." And you think, you've just read that, you think, well, there's a period for John Mark. He's through. No, he shows up again. Because Barnabas stuck with him, helped him get through that time of restoration. And when Paul's in the jail facing execution, what does he say? "Bring John Mark with you when you come. Bring him, because he's profitable. He's profitable for the ministry." I mean, you may give up on yourself. Others may give up on you. God says, "No, don't put a period where I want to put a comma. I want to put a comma. I've got something else to add to you." And then, of course, a classic example is Naomi, the book of Ruth. I mean, she was at the lowest place. What a destitute widow she was. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. The daughters-in-law were there, and they started back with her, but Oprah went back. She went back to her people. But Ruth said, "No, I'm going to stay with you. For whither thou goest, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your God will be my God." And you know what happened? Ruth went back with her. And when they got back there, they were destitute. And Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore." That means pleasantness. When she got back there, she said, "Don't call me that. I went out full. I came home empty. It's over. I mean, it's all over for me. No. Ruth goes to glean in a field, and guess whose field it is? It's a guy named Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And God brings them together, Ruth and Boaz. And pretty soon, Naomi, they get married, and Naomi's got that little baby in her arms, little Obed. And you know who Obed is? He's the father of Jesse. And you know who the father, do you know who Jesse was the father of? King David, greatest king in Israel's history. So the grandson of Obed was David, Naomi. Even the people there rejoiced with her. She held that little baby in her arms. She never thought she'd have a future, and yet that little baby became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. So, wow. Don't put a period where God puts a comma. Last thing I want to say to you. There are several reasons why you must not put a period where God wants to put a comma. Let God put the pen in God's hand. Don't take it out of His hand. Don't give up on life. Don't give up on ministry. Let God have the pen in His. Let Him write the story. He can write it way better than you. Believe me, I can testify from experience. God knows where to put the period. He does. You see, a few years ago, September 2023, it's going to be coming up on 3 years. I got to feeling really bad on Labor Day. I was really feeling bad. And so Becky came, took me to the doctor, took me to the hospital. I was there 9 hours, weren't we? 9 hours we were there. They're running all kinds of tests. They said, we can't find out what's bothering him. I felt so terrible and weak. So they sent me home. Next day, felt terrible again. So Becky follows it up, calls the doctor, and he started looking through. He said, well, they didn't run a CT scan. You got to have a CT scan. Said, take him to this imaging department, get a CT scan, and then we'll go from there. So Beck takes me to get the CT scan, and then we get a text, and it says, ASAP, get to emergency. He's had a massive stroke, blood bleeding on the brain. And I was just getting weaker and weaker. I couldn't even stand up, couldn't even sit up. And so Becky gets me and we head out. This is a little funny side story. We sit out for the hospital. It said ASAP. And she said, Dad, my siblings are going to kill me, but I'm nearly out of gas. I've got to stop and get gas. Please don't die. Just please don't die. Because my siblings are going to kill me that I didn't have gas in the car. She didn't tell me this. We didn't tell that story till later. But anyway, I told her we were headed for the hospital. I said, Beck, this is probably it. This is the end of my journey. And I want you to know this. I've had a good life. God's been really good to me. He saved me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And I've had a good life. And I had a wonderful wife God gave me for 62 years. And I've had great kids that love me and love our family. And I had a wonderful ministry God gave me in Garland for 49 years. I said, this is probably the end of the journey. And I want you to know I'm happy and I'm at peace and it's okay. It's okay. Well, God wasn't ready to put the period. I was ready, but He wasn't. And He put a comma. And so long recovery and physical therapy, and some of y'all can relate to all that. You know, physical therapists, their key word is no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. But I kept working at it and began to recover. And, I got back to preaching, which is my passion, which I love doing, is getting to preach the word. So I got back to preaching and got back to moving, getting around. And the Bible says, we know that all things work together, say it with me, for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. God has a plan. He has a plan. Let Him write the story. And so, I was preaching, enjoying life, except I was lonely. I was sad. And Judy had been gone nearly 4 years. And there was a family that I had pastored. And he was a gospel singer. He sang for me at Levon. And They were at our church at one time and both sang in the choir. I married their son 37 years ago. I married their son and daughter-in-law, and just a good family. Well, they had moved away and they had at another church, and he got sick, had cancer, and passed away. And so one of the things that I was doing in those years was the widows out of our church, I would call and I'd pray for them. And if they needed something, I tried to help them. I was doing that for widows and widowers, but there's far less widowers, believe me. You ladies outlive us so much. I mean, you just do. But anyway, Brother McCart, they ended up, John McCart, who was my co-pastor for 40 years, he ended up preaching the funeral for this lady's husband. And so I got the number from Brother John, and I called her because I knew her. I was her pastor. Her name was Donna. And I called her and told her, I said, I probably won't be able to come to the funeral, but I'll pray. I'm praying for you, and I pray God will comfort you. And, you know, and I said, if you ever need to talk to somebody, call me. And so anyway, I went to the funeral. Becky took me. She said, Dad, you shouldn't go. For some reason, I wanted to be there. And I was there, and I was so blessed. They used Dwayne's songs in the funeral because he was a singer. And he was a great Christian guy. And so I called about her after a while, and then one day she called me, and she was crying, going through the grief. And so that went on for, gosh, about a year and a half, nearly 2 years. Judy had been gone nearly 4 years. And so we were talking on the phone. We decided, let's just go out to eat one day. That's all, just going to go out to eat. But we started going out to eat, and I really liked her, and she really liked me. And I thought, man, I'm glad God had a comma there for me, because she is really, it's really a sweet lady, and she's brought a lot of blessing, and she loves Becky, and Becky loves her. They're closer. They said, hey, if y'all break up, they're going to stay friends. And you do it. Said, man, you may not be in the picture, but Becky and her, they're just great friends, and they're blessings. So don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. Can you say that with me? Don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. Say it again. Don't put a period where God wants to put a comma. I don't know what God has planned for you, but I know it's good. I know it's good. He's going to do what's good and what's for His glory. And we're going to raise our voices together someday, and we're going to praise Him and give glory to Him. Because God has something for us here. We may not know exactly, but when He leaves us here, He's got something for us to do. Keep that in your mind and heart, if you will. Let's pray together. Father, we know there's coming a day where there'll actually be no more periods for God's people. Lord, death will be gone. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. Lord, we're going to be with You, and we're going to be rejoicing and singing and laughing and enjoying heaven, and it's going to be a tremendous, wonderful time. And Lord, sometimes You extend our lives. Lord, it's a surprise to me. Lord, I never thought I'd outlive Judy, and yet, Lord, the time came for her, and Lord, You let me take care of her till You called her home, and then Lord, surprise of all surprises, you still had something for me to do, and I still got to preach, and now, Lord, this sweet lady, this sweet Christian lady, I get to have companionship with, go out to eat with, and enjoy. Thank You, Lord. You're so much better to us than we deserve, and I'm grateful. And so I pray for the blessing of God on Town East Baptist Church. Pray the blessing of God on my dear, dear friend, Russell. Lord, You brought him into my life. What a beloved friend. And thank You for him and Christy. What great leaders they are. And they've just done such a wonderful job leading this church, pastoring these people, and getting people saved. I pray their greatest days are yet ahead. Give them great times this summer with Bible school and camps. Lord, may there be some good things to be accomplished. And then, Lord, help us remember, the pen needs to be in Your hand. You need to write the story. And we want you to write our story, Lord. You, sometime in the world, people mean it for evil, but you mean it for good. And you'll bring us through, and you'll help us every step of the way. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.